AgBioScience is supported by Indiana Farm Bureau.
We talk about this being the only economy in the world that touches every person on the planet. That's a tall task. That's a big component, but it's also a lot of responsibility.
Welcome to AgBioScience, the number one podcast in the world for innovation in food, animal health, plant science, ag tech, and agriculture. Here is your host, Agrinova CEO, Mitch Fraser.
Welcome back to AgBioScience. It has been an incredible March, and as we reflect on the month gone by, there's lots to recount, Kayla Chittister.
Hi, Mitch.
Hello. It is incredible. We're back here again to look back on the month gone by in the entire AgBioScience economy. Lots to unpack.
Yeah, you've been on the go of late.
I have, just back this morning from spending time with the National Academy of Engineering at Purdue. To say that I was maybe a little intimidated by the audience is maybe the understatement of the day. A lot of smart people.
Can I ask who the audience was?
People from across disciplines, engineers, scientists, doctors, leaders of large government organizations, scientific leaders of large government organizations. And the topic was one that is truly near and dear to my heart, this connection between national security and food security. Something we've talked about with Hunger Tech, but this is one where you look back on what is the connection between food security and national security, and you can begin to reflect on how this world has evolved over time. Senator Todd Young, U.S. Senator Todd Young, who's been on this podcast, 9/11 was the last time he was on here. You know, Senator Young recounts back in 2018 in a Senate committee that he was participating in, talks about a Marine general who identified that food crises grow terrorists. And I mean, it's a bold statement. That's a heavy statement. It's a big statement. But when you look back at what's happened, I mean, you look at what's happening in Sudan right now, where farmers can't get to their fields, and then that crop can't ultimately get to market, and that farmer doesn't have an economic source. And when you look at that country as an example, there are 45 million people in Sudan, roughly a third of their population is food insecure, largely driven by war. I mean, it is just unreal that this is happening, and it's happened for generations. We talked a little bit about this today, but you look back at what happened in World War II. Look back at, you know, in Russia, the connection between where Germans actually starved. I mean, they had a plan that was called the Hunger Plan, where they were starving Russians. The Germans were starving Russians. Millions died. And what's wild is you see starvation, food being used as a weapon of war. And then we see it in modern times. We look at what's happening in what's happening in Ukraine. And we look back to just a couple months ago, I guess it was August now at the time, but where Russia bombed Odessa, the port in Ukraine. And it wasn't there about starving people directly. It was about breaking the food economy. I mean, this is the only economy in the world that touches every person on the planet. That's exactly where Russia went. And what's striking to me as I went back and we're talking again today at Purdue University with some just incredibly bright minds, what's wild to me as you look at this, I mean, we were, you know, the attack on Odessa was roughly 5 years after the UN passed a resolution that was focused on prohibiting the use of food as a weapon of war. And in that resolution, I mean, Kayla, this is wild. And this has been 5 years ago. 74 million people facing crisis of food insecurity or worse because of armed conflict. I mean, that's globally 74 million people. And you begin to see this role. And what we talked about today, and it was just a really, I think, an important conversation to have. You have all these innovators from across the economy, and shared three calls to action real quick: accelerating resiliency. How do we use science? How do we use technology to increase resiliency of this system? We talked about Corteva Catalyst, which I know we'll talk about here in a bit, but some really incredible work there of how do you unite the power of science and engineering and technology to create more resiliency in the system. We talked about reducing dependency. The Federal CHIPS and Science Act. I think the "and science" piece is often forgotten.
You know, that is a pure focus on how do we reduce dependency, not just directly, but indirectly on foreign markets. We saw, you know, when you look at what happened during the global pandemic here in the U.S., really around the world, you saw food supply chains break. And we saw it very clearly. And the CHIPS and Science Act was really designed to say, how do we insource innovations across 10 key technology areas, one of those being biotechnology, an area that Indianapolis, the Indianapolis Metro, competed on for a federal biotech hub. We won it. We renamed it. And I think there it's this connection between plants, animals, and people we often talk about here on Ag Bioscience. And the last call to action was really innovating for health. And this is one that I think is really tough to see at abstract. Well, how does health ultimately affect national security? And you can begin to see this where all these things come together. The World Health Organization, they set out a goal to reduce 30% of sodium consumption by 2025. That was this goal the World Health Organization set out. And they did it, I believe, to inspire companies in the food system to follow suit. And one of those companies that I shared today, and it's one that all of us know, is Kraft Heinz. I mean, that little two little girls at home, you have kids at home. I mean, Kraft is a big piece of our pantry. And one of their products, Capri Suns, you know, those little foil packs with a straw that always goes to the backside every time I put it in for the kids. You know, Kraft Heinz came up with this plan and they said, hey, look, we want to reduce. I mean, this is a crazy number. They want to reduce total sugar by 60 million pounds across their portfolio. Capri Sun was one of those products they innovated to reduce sugar in. They reduced sugar by 40%.
How?
I mean, it is incredible. And you go, okay, so help me tie it back to national security and food security. You begin to look at health. And here in the States specifically, we spend over $170 billion a year caring for the obese, the healthcare system in the U.S. $170 billion a year. And you put numbers behind the numbers and you begin to see where this is a critical challenge that we have to solve. Obesity, specifically, 20% of children in the U.S. obese, more than 40% of adults. But here to me is where the connection between the need to innovate and the connection to food security is and national security. Over 25% of young people between the ages of 17 and 24 don't meet the weight standards to serve in the U.S. military. So this idea of how do we innovate for health? How do we reduce dependency? How do we accelerate resiliency? That was the call to action this morning at Purdue with a lot of really smart people. Fun to be with them, but a really heavy topic to tackle and a big challenge for this economy to go do.
Well, one that I'm sure really tugs at your heartstrings with your background in service and whatnot, it's not the first time you've been asked to have this kind of conversation. It's certainly not going to be the last. I think there's already more slated on your calendar to come.
There are.
Very well stated. I don't think I have anything to add to that, but I will say we've had a couple of different discussions on this podcast specifically regarding this topic. We'll make sure we link those in the captions so that you can go back and listen to those, but very strong start to our month in review, Mitch.
Yeah, a big start. And one I really do hope is a call to action. That went a little long on it, but it is such an important piece as we look at the future of the ag bioscience economy. We talk about this being the only economy in the world that touches every person on the planet. That's a tall task. That's a big component, but it's also a lot of responsibility. And I think there's a huge opportunity to do it. And one of the things that happened this month is a giant company, the largest pure play ag company in the world, headquartered here in Indianapolis, made a big commitment to increasing resiliency with a new program they launched.
Yeah, Corteva just doing what they do at World AgriTech Summit now and just making big announcements out in San Francisco. Second year in a row with the launch of Corteva Catalyst.
Corteva Catalyst, a new platform. And I really love the way that Tom was on the podcast earlier this week. Certainly drop a link to his podcast episode down in the show notes. Tom Green, Senior Director of External Innovation Investment at Corteva. He calls Corteva Catalyst a platform. So it's part venture investing. It's part connection to academia, connection into IP.
incubation of early stage companies and the big stage companies. But what I love about this idea is so focused on R&D. It's focused on true innovation. And I think Corteva did a really good job here. It's not everything. They focused on four key areas: genome editing, biologicals and natural products, tech platforms, think AI, artificial intelligence, and decision science. Those four key areas, Tom talks, I think, just really, really eloquently about the need to advance those technologies. But also when we ask him specifically about, so what stage company do you want, Tom? What do you see Corteva Catalyst being focused on? He talked a lot about those early stage companies, those companies that, you know, are maybe struggling today in a current environment to raise capital. We talk about PitchBook sharing that venture investing was down, what, 37% quarter over quarter from Q4 23 to Q4 22. But he says, look, this isn't a focus just on one specific segment of the ag bioscience economy or size of company. This is everything. And I think that's such a powerful platform by how he's defined it, how Corteva has defined it, a platform of everything from investment to innovation, partnership to incubation.
Yeah. And it's really focused. It's really focused in those four areas, which I think is great. And it delivers innovation into the hands of the world's farmers. And we have to say that again, the world's farmers, because that's what Corteva does.
So true.
And so it's very good listen. Yes, I'm biased as the producer of this podcast, but to go back and hear him talk about early stage innovation versus maybe people in more of scale up mode and the relationship between Corteva Catalyst and M&A activity at Corteva. So it kind of opens the floodgates in more ways than one, I'm sure. Time will tell, but very exciting.
Really exciting. And I love Tom's focus, Corteva's focus with Corteva Catalyst on this is for the benefit of farmers. I mean, in the announcement, they talk about the role of the farmer, but they also talk about the role of food, back to where we started this conversation, and the criticality. I think Tom's direct quote, you probably remember this better than I do, was, if you're an ag, you're in food. Hmm? And I think, gosh, what a great call to action.
Yeah, absolutely. How was World Agritech?
It was great. You know, we had a great opportunity to connect with people all across, I mean, truly around the world, across the country and around the world. Everyone from early stage companies to venture investors to public company investor. I mean, just a really great swath of innovators focused on driving the ag bioscience economy forward. Brought together a handful of folks for an event on Tuesday of World Agritech. And for those of you that joined, and we're going to maybe able to get into the room, it was wild.
I was going to say, you just called it a handful of folks. I've heard rumors of people not being able to fit in the room. We won't shout out to any fire departments or anything on this podcast.
grateful for the tolerance. Yeah, we had a great number of folks who did join us for a wonderful discussion. But I don't know, there were 2,500, 3,000 people that come to World Agritech, and it was great to see the excitement, the energy, the focus on how do we advance everything from food to animal health to plant science to ag tech to agriculture, everyone in the same place focused on delivering big.
Well, while you were away, another announcement hit the news.
Yeah, BioMade.
Yeah, BioMade is considering Indiana on its shortlist for a biomanufacturing pilot facility.
Biomanufacturing, think of this as using things like corn and soy to replace petrochemicals in large part, lots of other ways, but I think that's a clear example. We've had examples of that here on the podcast. The friends from AgroRenew down in Southern Indiana using watermelon rinds, innovating, using biological processes, using actually watermelon rind to replace petrochemicals in plastic. We've seen Mark Warner from the folks at Liberation Labs, Mark being now the CEO of Liberation Labs, using precision fermentation to advance and to scale contract manufacturing in food. There is a lot happening here. And for BioMade, this really cool national, really interesting national nonprofit funded by the U.S. Department of Defense to accelerate innovation, shortlisting regions across the country, and Indiana making the shortlist.
Yeah. And so, you know, even if you look most recently at producer-led, our producer-led innovation challenge here at Agrinovis, the winner in 2023, because it's 2024, right?
Wow, it is.
Nailed it. FiberX, they're also working in this space. Plastic polymer pellets, that's very hard to say.
You did it well, though.
Thank you.
Yeah.
But they've been using corn stover to create that.
Getting lignin from corn stover, very scientific. Using lignin to create a plastic component.
Yeah. These innovation challenges, man, they produce results.
They do, they are, and they will. Right now, we see our Hunger Tech Innovation Challenge, a challenge we started 3 years ago now. This is our third Hunger Tech Innovation Challenge with the support of the nation's second largest health insurer in Elevance, coming alongside us to say, look, how do we use innovation? How do we use the power of technology to better connect food supply to food demand to really serve those who are in need? And the Hunger Tech Innovation Challenge's third iteration is underway right now.
Yeah, and so via some research sprinting done by various folks that submitted entries, it was found this polarization between where food is distributed and where hungry homes are. And so pockets of rural America maybe not having as much access to nutrition the way that we do here in Indianapolis, and I'm sure areas of Indianapolis that don't have access to those pockets of nutrition. And so making sure that distribution piece is in step is really, I think, a very unique part about the challenge this year.
Totally agree. If you rewind the clock of how we even got to Hunger Tech and how we got to this Hunger Tech Innovation Challenge, it was during the pandemic, when we worked with Ernst & Young and Purdue University to identify what broke in the food supply chain. And well, one of the fractures, probably the biggest fracture, was connecting food supply with food demand. And the first couple iterations of Hunger Tech have really focused on how do we connect food supply with food demand? What's the role of digital? And this year, what the research identified was really this need, to your point, both in rural environments and in urban environments. How do we actually bridge that gap in the role of technology? And so eager to see what the teams are working on. That innovation challenge is underway, and we will announce a winner. Someone will get a $25,000 check coming up in April.
Yeah, April 26th at TechPoint's Mira Awards, and they don't just get a $25,000 check. They get a gigantic $25,000 check.
And I appreciate that you can appreciate the reference to the Ed McMahon check. I often refer to the Ed McMahon check, and well, I realize that I'm no longer young.
It's okay. There's somebody in this room right now that, yeah.
Yeah.
She makes you feel old.
Ed McMahon may not be a reference that's recognizable.
I'm making eye contact with Kaylee, our photographer. Nope. She's shaking her head no. Sorry, Mitch.
That's okay. It's been a big month. We've a lot accomplished, a lot acted upon in March, and we have a lot to look forward to in April, in addition to all the basketball that's happening.
Yeah, basketball. It's Indiana. We can't not talk about basketball unless you are an IU fan, which I am, so I choose not to talk about it.
Even though, Kayla, your Hoosiers didn't make the dance, there's still lots to be optimistic about here across Ag Bioscience as we look to the second quarter of the year.
Yeah, absolutely. Because we just referenced quarters, I thought of quadrant. Our next quadrant is coming up July 17th.
July 17th, and we will unveil some new work we've been working on when we look at what's the future of the Ag Bioscience economy, what will it look like over the next couple decades, and how do we actually take action on that here? Look for more information soon.
Yeah, if you like the future and thinking about the future, also wondering about the future, this quadrant might be for you.
It is going to be a lot of fun, a lot of things between here and there, a lot of conversations to have, a lot of things to move forward, and a lot of students across our Field Atlas platform that are engaging
in the second quarter as well.
Yeah, absolutely. We will be doing company tours. Keep an eye out for that if you are a college student interested in learning more about the ag biosciences and seeing what it's like to work at companies. We'll have some opportunities to tour those coming up really soon.
And you can always find out more about Field Atlas and access Field Atlas at myfieldatlas.com. Caleb Chittister, has been an absolute delight to look back on March 2024 with you here across the Ag Bioscience Economy.
Back at you.
You're swell. And, you know, Kayla, I think it's only fitting that you rock the close.
I only know the second part. Well, I'm positive I know the whole thing.
You've heard it dozens and dozens of times.
On behalf of the entire Agrinovis team, I'm Kayla Chittister saying thanks for listening. We look forward to seeing you real soon.
Thanks.
Ag Bioscience is a podcast by Agrinovis Indiana, hosted by Mitch Frazier, produced by Kayla Chittister and Fabian Rodriguez, photography and design by Kaylee Kerr. If you liked today's episode, subscribe, rate, and review so we can bring you more conversations just like this. Get all episodes of Ag Bioscience at agrinovisindiana.com.